recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it is the 21st of, January 2013, and this is the AR Library call. Thank you for everybody that's joined on the call. So here is our first question. Rick, I have a question about privacy. Let me begin that again. Rick, I have a question about privacy. Recently, my husband became very angry with me because I went through his phone and car. We were supposed to be reconciling. However, due to the events that happened, I don't think this will happen now. His phone was with me, and I went through it. I told him I did, and I found out he was some pretty hurtful words about me, and he had contacted his AP the night he moved back home and told her he was staying with a friend. He told me I was wrong in going through his phone. I was just nosy. I had never gone through any of his stuff prior to his affair, ever. I never had a reason to. Now I'm told I'm just searching and nosy. This is just not true. He's gone again because I told him to go with her. I don't know if there's a chance or not. So much has been done. Anyway, if you can post something about the rules of privacy of the unfaithful, I would appreciate it. God bless. Well, actually, I'd almost say the rules of propriety in relationships aren't just for the unfaithful. To me, it's really a two-way street. In my personal opinion, and I think that couples really should have access to each other's Facebook accounts. They should have access to email. I think they should have access to phone records. I think they should have equal access to text messaging. In the long run, opportunity is one of the huge keys that creates infidelity, and accountability goes a long way. And it's not just accountability, it's just knowing that other people see make people far more cautious. If you think about it, normally we wouldn't have said things, I think, even over the telephone to people that sometimes someone will text because it seems more removed. That whole accountability of seeing someone. But if there's privacy and the opportunity, then I think chances increase. Therefore, our recommendation is that both husband and wife grant, you know, give passwords to each other so that if the other person feels like checking, they certainly can check. Another aspect of this whole thing that does deal with the unfaithful, because of, I think, the lack of trust, I think one of the first steps to reestablishing trust is allowing access to those things, showing that you aren't keeping anything secret. Obviously, it's deception that's the bigger problem with infidelity, even more than I think the sexual conduct. It's deception that takes people the longest period of time to get over, and you don't know how to trust unless you know that deception has been, that it stopped. And the only way to know it stopped is by checking things out. I've even had couples, someone, if they spent a lot of money on an affair, that they give their mate that much money to hire PIs and do whatever is necessary to check out to make sure that they're being faithful again. I just think until you can give reassurance, there's no way to move forward. And in your situation, you're talking about the fact that he's even deceiving his affair partner as he goes forward. And I think that's as long as there's still deception, then there is an issue. And I think one of the things you say here, something about rules of privacy of the unfaithful, just rules of privacy. To me, there are times, though, where Stephanie and I, may have someone we're talking to and it doesn't feel appropriate for our mate, and I'm talking counseling or mentoring where it doesn't feel appropriate for them to read it, we also have asked specifically in certain situations for privacy just because it didn't feel appropriate for them to be reading other people's messages. And in those situations where we've asked for it, we've honored that with each other. And if you can, again, communicate the need and why you need that, I think you can also work through those situations. But to me, privacy is probably more about situations that deal with confidentiality and information from someone else's life that may not, it would be embarrassing or difficult for that person if they knew that someone else knew what was going on. But we're very specific with each other about those types of situations. So in general, with privacy, ultimately respecting each other, but privacy and trust is something that's earned, and it's not something that is just given because somebody demands it, especially in a relationship where there's been a wounding. And setting up a system where you don't assume that everything will be okay. As Peggy Vaughn says, one of the worst problems people had was assuming monogamy. Just because we get married doesn't mean things will work out. Assume that actually something could happen. And so put safeguards in place, allow for access, and just so you can know that other people see. And in the long run, I think it'll strengthen the relationship. But again, be respectful with that privacy. Now for a comment. That'll actually be the next question here. Hi, Rick. We were at EMS in December, and it was the best thing we ever did. Seeing a specialist like you and your staff really gave us some tools to clarify to a painful path we were walking on, and knowing we were not alone. We have had our ups and downs. We happen to be in a down mood right now. I've been almost 6 months since D-Day, and we've been meeting on our weekly conference calls with our group. Since last week, Bob has been having a difficult time with being in this dark place regarding sexual intimacy, and cannot stop playing the nightmare in his head of me and my AP constantly. He's completely disconnected and needs distance from me. We discussed it at our meeting last night, but it was still an area that I'm sure will take time to work out. It's been painful to see him struggling, and it does create anger, and things are said that are destructive and not constructive in any way. I did read your newsletter today regarding pain and the stages. It is our choice to remain here or find a way to work through that pain. We were close, intimate, and making progress, not to say that it was not difficult and the triggers were there, but I'm just asking if there's something that we can do to help with the struggle Bob and I are having. And thanks for lesson 3 on the EMS lesson. It was a very painful letter to write again, but it was good to hear the letter from him, and I hope and pray Bob can let those words penetrate in his heart from me for the pain that I've caused him. Looking forward to hearing from you. Kind regards. So, you know, it's in fact, this week's newsletter that's coming out, I think on Wednesday, addresses this topic a little bit. It is such a struggle with the triggers, and I'm assuming it's the triggers that are creating the problem for him. With, I think, sexual intimacy, learning how to just connect with each other's hearts. Oftentimes, making love with your hearts is really an important phase while you begin to feel safe enough, or where he begins to feel safe enough to make love physically. So just being interested in one another, finding moments of intimacy together, I think, is going to be important. And learning how to stay present in the moment. There's actually an hour-long interview that we'll be doing with Nancy that's going to be published by Nancy Houston. And I think it may give you some directions. I'm a little confused when I read this. I'm assuming he's the one having troubles. If it would help, the other thing you might do is consider calling Crossroads Counseling, and maybe I could have a session with the two of you. But in the long run, getting those intrusive thoughts out of his head, oftentimes replacing it with something positive between the two of you is one of the first steps. As many moments as possible. The other thing, when the two of you make love, if you will leave the lights on and maintain eye contact, it may help him with staying connected to you during that process. That would be the final thing I would really suggest. Just eyes open, looking at each other, and it may help with the intrusive thoughts. That all being said, I think that's all of our questions for the day. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I will be back next week to Healing.